Please do take a seat. We're going to have our Bible readings. Andrew is going to come and read in English. And then I think Behzad is coming to read in Farsi. So thank you.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John, to prevent him, said, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Brilliant. Wonderful. So, last week, if you were here, you'll probably remember that we were learning about John the Baptist, weren't we? That strange, hairy fella. Well, I imagine he was hairy. The scripture doesn't say he's hairy, but I'm imagining he's hairy. He was certainly wearing camel hair and a leather belt and eating wild honey and locusts and all sorts of really unusual stuff. And he was in by the Jordan River, if you remember, and he was baptizing people. People had come from miles around to be baptized by John in the Jordan River to show that they were sorry for the wrong things in their lives, for the sin in their lives. And then, and John was basically saying, look, there's somebody coming who's even greater than I am. Somebody whose sandals I'm not even fit to stoop down and untie. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And then what the next thing that happens as we read in Matthew's Gospel, as we've just heard, is that Jesus comes. Jesus, the one whom John was telling everybody to get ready for, he comes and he asks John to baptize him. What is going on? Because Jesus, we know, don't we? Jesus never sinned. He didn't do anything wrong. He lived a life of perfect obedience to his Father. So, why did Jesus insist on getting baptized? Why do you think? Kids, any ideas? It's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. Well, let me help to maybe unpack it a little bit. And actually, I've got some. I need your help. I need somebody's help here because Debbie, you might come and help me with this. Actually, I was peeling and chopping vegetables the other day, like I do. I'll be selling you off for lying to the church, so it's a wink. I was peeling and chopping vegetables the other day, and something terrible happened. Into this bucket of sludge, my wedding ring just fell off and into this bucket of sludge. And my wedding ring is very precious to me. Because. And now my wedding ring is somewhere in this bucket of sludge.
Oh no, it's disgusting. It smells awful, Tim.
But it's only got rotten tomatoes and apples.
Honestly.
and eggshells and sprouts, lots of sprouts in here. Doesn't smell that bad, does it?
No, that's disgusting.
Kids, anybody fancy coming and dipping your hand in there to get my wedding ring?
No.
No? No? Huh? Hang on, let me show the guys on Zoom.
Oh, no, it smells, it really does smell.
Anybody? Anybody want to get there? No? No? Lev, I wouldn't put you through it, mate. I wouldn't put you through it. Wow. Oh. If only there was somebody who loved me enough and saw the value enough in this wedding ring to come and get it out of the muck. If only. Who might that person be? Abby? You're supposed to, at this point, we talked about this. You're supposed to jump up at this point,
Abby,
and say, "I will do it." No, it is in a plastic bag, so.
Oh, you cheat.
I wasn't going to put it back on my hand with it. Yeah, anyway, here we go. Let's see, so you're going to get it. You want to come closer to have a look, kids?
Go, Abby.
Oh, you put water in it.
Yeah, of course I put water in it. Makes it more disgusting.
done some disgusting things in my time, but...
Oh, it really does smell.
I've looked right in the middle. Right in the middle. There we go. Have we got it?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Phew!
There you go, my darling.
Thank you. We'll have to open it for me.
Oh, yes. Yay!
Yay!
I think it might have leaked.
Yeah,
anyway, well done, Abby!
Woo! Not.
Now, here's the thing, okay? You know, other people might have looked on from a distance and said, Tim, just get your hand in there, sort it out, pull it out yourself. Some of you were probably thinking that,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah.
But Abby loves me. I think she still does. Loves me so much that she was prepared to come in and get stuck in and pull it out. And that's a picture of what Jesus came to do. Because this bucket of slime and sludge and rotten stuff, it's like a representation of the world, isn't it? The world which has been ruined by sin, by our rebellion against God, by our decision to put ourselves first instead of living for God. And we see the mess in the world around us as a result of that. But Jesus came. He didn't stand on the sidelines saying, sort yourselves out. No. And he didn't even just sort of dip his hand in to pull us out. No, Jesus jumped right in to the mess of our world as one of us. In other words, Jesus was not just a lookalike. Jesus didn't just look like one of us. He became one of us, entered into our mess to rescue us. Why? Because we're precious to him. We're precious to the Father. Even more precious than my wedding ring is to me. Jesus became human as one of us to rescue us. And it was only by becoming human, it was only by becoming one of us that Jesus was able to rescue us. Because our sin, the sin of the human race, is our fault, and we, by rights, should take the consequences for that sin. But Jesus became one of us so that he could take the consequences for us on the cross. It's only by becoming human, fully one of us, that we could have our sins forgiven. So, that is why Jesus insisted on being baptized. To show to every watching and to the world, every subsequent generation, that he really had become one of us. He wasn't a lookalike. He'd become one of us, in order that we might be saved through his death and his resurrection. So what does that mean for us? Two things before we sing again. First thing is this, it means we can be forgiven. You know, when we say that prayer of confession on a Sunday morning, or when we're at home and we feel bad about something and we say, oh God, I'm so sorry. Because of what Jesus did for us, because he became one of us, not just a lookalike, and because he died on a cross for us, it means we can know for absolute certain that our sins have been forgiven when we confess them to Almighty God. That they're washed away as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that amazing? And the second thing is this that I want to unpack a little bit. It means that whatever mess we might be going through in life, however messy we feel our life is, whatever struggles we're going through, however much we feel like we're just surrounded by stinky stuff, Jesus understands, because he has been here as one of us. He entered into our life as one of us. And everything that we've been through, he's been through. So that means he understands. So if you're going through some stuff right now, whatever it may be, know this, that Jesus understands. And more than that, because he rose again and ascended to the Father in heaven and has sent his Holy Spirit to live in us, he's with you through it all. Amen. So let's stand, we're going to sing another song. And we've been thinking, haven't we, about how Jesus became one of us, not just a lookalike, he became one of us to rescue us from our sin. And that is amazing news, but it gets even better. Can anyone remember from our Bible reading this morning, can anyone remember what happened when Jesus had been baptized and he comes out of the water? What's the next thing that happens? Can anyone remember? Kids, can you remember? Okay, heaven comes down. Tell me about that. So the Holy Spirit comes, that's right, and rests on him, that's right, in the form of a dove. And something else happens. What did they hear? What did the people around hear? And what did Jesus hear?
A voice
from heaven saying, brilliant, this is my son whom I love, and I am well pleased with him. Yeah, okay. I'm well pleased with him. Can you imagine? How do you think Jesus felt when he heard those words? Tell me. Happy. Yeah, anything else? It's not a rhetorical question. How did Jesus feel when he heard those words?
Secure.
Relieved, maybe? Yeah. Vindicated. Excited. Elated. Accepted. Joyful. The list goes on. Well done. We're getting the hang of it now. Brilliant. Excellent. Yeah, all those things and probably more. Now, a few years ago, there used to be a TV program. Have we got the slides back, Daniel? There used to be a TV program called Stars in Their Eyes. Who remembers Stars in Their Eyes? Come on, listen, kids, this is an education for you now, okay? The other week I was introducing you to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids on Christmas Day, wasn't it? This time it's Stars in Their Eyes, classic program from my childhood and adolescence. Who remembers Stars in Their Eyes? Okay, a few of us. For those of you who don't, and I don't know whether there's an equivalent version in Iran, there may not be, but Stars in Their Eyes was a brilliant Saturday evening TV program where ordinary people, okay, who thought they could sing a bit. It's a bit like, you know, The Voice or something like that. They'd get dressed up as the person that they wanted to imitate, okay? But before that, they'd come on stage like this. Hello, Matthew, my name's Kevin, I'm from Pontefract. And apologies for being from Pontefract. And they'd have a little conversation about their life. And then they'd say, and Matthew Kelly'd go, and so, who are you going to be tonight, Kevin? And Kevin would say, well, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Nat King Cole. Or something like that. Or Freddie Mercury. And they'd walk through this sort of spectacular sort of dome thing like that. And then when they came out, they'd be dressed as the person concerned. It was awesome. Okay. You've got to watch this, kids. Watch it on YouTube. They were in that moment, from going through that thing and come back out again, they were transformed into this new person. And you know, when you gave your life to Jesus, an amazing transformation took place. It happened in you. You became a child of God. That's who you became. Adopted into his family. You became one with Jesus, united to him. And so that means that God says to you, whoever you are, whatever your past, God says to you now, you are my son or my daughter, whom I love. And with you, I am well pleased. That's amazing. We need to get that into us. Because this is an incredible, incredible truth. And the thing is, it wasn't that change that happened in you when you gave your life to Jesus was not just an outward transformation, like on Stars of Their Eyes, where you walk in, here I am, I look like a child of God, but actually I'm not really deep down. It was not just an outward transformation, it's an inward transformation. And so many Christians today, and maybe you feel this yourself, I know there are times when I feel this, you know, we feel, I'm not good enough. God is frustrated with me. He's cross with me. He's fed up with me. I've let him down again. I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I don't read my Bible enough. I don't pray enough. I don't go to church enough. Whatever else it may be, I don't do enough. I am not enough. But the truth is, if you've given your life to Jesus, God looks at you and he says, you are enough. And I love you. You are my son. You are my daughter. And I am so pleased with you. Because you are joined to Christ. You are a child of God. He loves you so, so, so much. In fact, here's something that's going to blow your mind. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Just think about that for a minute. God the Father loves you, yes, you, as much as he loves Jesus. Don't believe me? Read John chapter 15, chapter 17, John chapter 17, verse 23. Comes from the words, from the mouth of Jesus himself. And that means that when God looks at you, he experiences and feels the same joy, the same delight that he feels when he looks at Jesus. Let that sink in for a moment. You know, God wants you to know the truth of that. Not just in your head. Lots of us have heard it before, but it hasn't necessarily sunk down to our hearts. But God wants us to know the truth of that deep in our hearts and our inmost being. He wants us to know for sure that we are his son, his daughter. He wants us to know for sure that you are loved. He loves you the same way that he loves Jesus. He wants you to know that he is pleased with you. And that when he sees you, his heart is filled with joy. Because when you know that, when that goes deep down within you, it does change you. It transforms you and it enables you to cope with, and not just cope with, to thrive in whatever life throws at you, whatever difficulties you're facing in your life right now or in the future. Knowing that you're a child of God, that God loves you so much and he's pleased with you, despite everything, will transform you and enable you to live a different kind of life. So this morning, I want to invite you this morning to respond to God's love. Okay, in whatever way feels right to you. But don't just sit and sort of, you know, stay within the box that you've built around yourself if that's you. Open the door of your heart and let's receive from the Lord whatever he wants to give us this morning. Now, it may be that you are sitting here thinking, I'm not sure that I have given my life to Jesus. Well, that's something that can change this morning. And you can experience the truth of what I've been talking about in your life for the first time this morning. Please, don't hold back. If that's you, respond this morning. Or maybe you're sitting there thinking, this sounds great, I want it for myself. I'm just not sure it's for me. I'm not sure that it's going to happen for me. But here's where faith comes in. You need to choose to believe the truth. And when you choose to believe the truth, you will experience the truth. You will experience the truth. So this morning, what we're going to do is respond. We're going to have a song on the screen again. And there are two ways that you might want to respond, okay? First is, you might want to say, okay, I want to come forward and receive prayer to give my life to Jesus. Or maybe to be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? And if you want to do that, I'm going to encourage you to come forward and come to this area here, and there'll be people here who are ready to pray with you. Can those people come up now, please, so we know who they are? That's it. Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, really, guys, come on. Let's not leave here unchanged this morning. Okay. If you need prayer this morning, come and there'll be people here who'll be delighted to pray with you. Okay. The second way of responding, and maybe you're more of a creative person. Maybe you like to draw, colour, whatever. We've got some sheets here which you can colour in if you want. And as you colour in and doodling, just allow the Holy Spirit to assure you of the truth of what we've been speaking about this morning and what is written on those sheets. Okay, so let's stand together, and then I'm gonna lead us in a prayer. We're gonna have the music, and then you can respond however you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for the truth of the words that we sung those few moments ago, that you're a good, good Father, and that you love us so much. Lord, we know that often we don't experience that love. We don't feel that love because the world crowds in and we allow you to be crowded out. But this morning, Lord, we want to receive all that you have for us. So please will you pour out your Spirit as we open our hearts to you. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.